Welcome to another episode of the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Yes, get in and welcome to a Facebook Live. This is another glorious episode of the Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius, the show in which I invite movers, makers, shakers, mavericks, influencers, and also personal heroes into a clearing or serious happy place of my guests' choosing to all share with us their stories of distinction and genius. And I'm absolutely thrilled to have Theatre Aristocracy in the building today. We have Finty Williams, who I'm delighted to say was passed the golden baton by Brendan O'Hay, who has recently penned Shakespeare, The Man Who Pays the Rent, with your mother, Judy Dench. And I mentioned Theatre Aristocracy and Glitterati. You're also the daughter of Michael Williams as well. So Finty Williams, it's an absolute delight and pleasure to have you here in the Good Listening To Show Clearing.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for asking me. Well, thank you, Brendan, for asking me.
Not at all. And Brendan has blown some very happy smoke at you, saying you are an absolute force for good, an angel, and how majestic you've been in forging a life with your own path, which is the really important thing as well. Oh, so he's blown some very happy smoke at you, but I'm delighted.
No pressure there, then.
So how's morale? When we first met about, two or three weeks ago, we were going to do this, but about 10 days ago, you had a dreadful snotty flu condition. So
it was truly horrific. It started on the 30th of December.
Yeah.
Had great plans for New Year's Eve. And it was the first time in 51 years that I have seen the new year in on the sofa in my pyjamas. It was pretty grim, and I'm just coming through it now. So it's lasted nearly 3 weeks.
Well, I'm glad you're the right way up on the other side of that then. And I'm sorry about your New Year's Eve. Wonderful. So what's your story of the day beyond the cold, by the way? So how's morale? What's your story of the day today?
My story of the day is that I'm just trying to make our house warm enough for our cats who may or may not make an appearance at some point.
Thus implying that the cat is the queen of your domain.
The two cats, yes.
Two cats. And what are their names, just to sort of get a shout out for the cats?
Their names are Oberon and Titania. They were named before we got them, but in our house, I'm afraid, and please don't anybody come at me, but they are called Ron and Tits.
Ron and Tits, a.k.a. Oberon and Titania. So what's the abbreviation of Oberon again? Ob, did you say?
No, Ronnie.
Oh, Ronnie. Because I got the abbreviation of Titania and Tits, but Ronnie and Obs, Oberon, yeah. Obs. That's brilliant. So and how come they were given a new name? Because Oberon and Titania is suitably theatrically Shakespeareanly majestic.
Well, I think that's why we wanted to give them a new name. It seemed a bit naff to call them Oberon and Titania. Although, to any small friends that we have, they are still Oberon and Titania.
Wonderful.
Because, you know, I don't want them shouting, you know, down the road, how's tits?
Or maybe we do. By the way, the other thing that Brendan said, he said you will so enjoy the architecture and the curation of this show. So I'm really, really excited to be able to take you through the journey, which is going to be a clearing, a tree, a lovely, juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1. There'll be some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels, a golden baton, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake.
Yay.
So absolutely all to play for. So should we get you on the open road of that then?
You bet.
And you're invited, by the way, there is an invocation to go as deep as you like, when you like, where you like. And so take it wherever you'd like to take it. And really looking forward to finding out the story behind the story of the lovely Finty Williams. And you've just finished an 18-month tour before you got ill over Christmas. Is that right?
Yeah, 14 months.
14 months.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
what was that show?
It was called The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman and Joel Horwood, directed by Katie Rudd. And we went all over the UK and Ireland and then finished with 7 weeks in the West End. And it was, I do touch on it during my journey.
I'm glad
today,
you will. So. Wonderful. So let's get you on the open road. So first of all, where is a clearing or serious happy place for you, Finty Williams? Where do you go to get clutter-free, inspirational and able to think?
So this was quite tricky because I have two.
That's okay.
One is when I was little, because of my parents' jobs, we only ever went camping on the west coast of Scotland for the summer holidays in a tent away from everybody. And I loved that. But when I was, I think I was 19, we went to Barbados for the first time. And I had never, ever, ever been anywhere like that. And I remember getting off the plane and crying. Because my dad said to me, "What are you crying for?" And I said, "It's so beautiful and colourful, and the sea and the animals and the birds, and it just blew my mind so much." And I've been lucky enough to go back a few times. And there's a particular place on the beach, just by the steps from the hotel, that when I have to be calm or, you know, relax or clear my mind, I think about a very particular evening where I sat there and I looked out at the sea. It was the last holiday that we had before COVID. And my mum very, very generously took her and her partner and me and Joe, my partner, and my son and his best friend, Alex. And we were all there together. And it was so magical, Chris, I can't begin to tell you. So that is like an idyllic happy place.
And by the way, I so love the fact your first memory of that was in the company of your great father, now sadly departed. Yeah. But then your most recent re-immersion in the same magic memory is in just before the pandemic. So we're coming back to the same place in Barbados. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Always the same place.
Yes.
And it really is very special. Anywhere that contains my dad is very special to me. Mm-hmm. And we took Sammy there when he was 18 months old. And on the first evening, my dad picked him up. He was in his pajamas and he tapped my dad on the back and he went, "Oh, Gampy, Barbados." And then when we got back, Brendan O'Hay said to him, "Now, Sammy, what do you like more, Barbados or Waitrose?" And there was a pause and he went, "Waitrose."
Wow. Great comic timing. And that was great. A wonderful comic reverse there. We were all expecting Barbados being the answer,
yeah,
obviously.
Waitrose. Loved a bit of Waitrose. But my seriously happy place, which is where I feel, even though I don't live there, it's where I feel that I've gone home, is Stratford-upon-Avon, because when I was little, my parents were there at the RSC and we lived just outside Stratford in a village called Charlcote. And we lived there until I was 12. And like the pavement contains my dad there and such memories. And in the summer, I was doing the show in Birmingham. And Joe, my partner, drove to meet me in Stratford. And I drove from Birmingham after the show. And as I came over the hill into Stratford, I just burst into tears because it's like, I don't know. You know when like the sky looks familiar and the sounds are part of such happiness? Mm-hmm. So I think as much as I love Barbados, I think I'd have to choose Stratford.
UK Health The station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The pavements of Stratford, or are you going to sort of park up at a particular building? Or whereabouts in Stratford?
I think maybe in like the Bancroft Gardens. So I can see the theatre, even though it looks very different to when I was little. But I can see Waterside and I can see Chapel Street and I can see the Avon. And yeah, I think that's where I'll be.
Lovely. So say the names of the gardens once again and I'll arrive with my tree there.
The Bancroft Gardens.
Beautiful. So here I am now, a bit existentially waiting for Godot-esque, arriving with a tree now to shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. How do you like these apples? And this is where you've had the chance to think about. You've had 5 minutes to have contemplated four things that have shaped you, Finty Williams, three things that inspire you, two things that never fail to grab your attention and borrow from the film Up. That's a bit, squirrels, you know, what never fails to grab your attention, irrespective of anything else that's going on for you. And then the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us. So over to you to shake the canopy of your tree as you see fit to interpret that exercise.
Well, 5 minutes definitely wasn't long enough. I pondered over this and yeah. I could have come up with 15 things. But I think the first one, and bearing in mind where we are, I think the first one has to be my childhood for so many reasons, because it always seemed to be the summer. I don't remember it being the winter. I remember it being the winter in London, but not in Stratford. And it was always that sort of wonderful sort of sunsetty glow. And I remember being at the Mop Fair with my mum and dad, and well before, you know, all the great inventions of, you know, CGI and things like that, they had this big dome in the middle of Sheep Street. And they basically just projected a film of a roller coaster onto one of the walls. And I must have been, I thought I was about eight, but I must have been six because it was, four, because it was the summer of 1976. And it was when my mum was doing Macbeth, the famous Macbeth with Ian McKellen. And we went to the mop and we stood in this big bubble. And it was a roller coaster. And afterwards, I got very upset, apparently. My dad was like, oh, Finn, you know, don't be upset. And my mum had to go for the matinee of Macbeth. And she felt so sick, she had to go like hand over hand down all the railings along the waterside. And she was like, never mind the child, I've got to go and do the show. But it was such a happy childhood. It was filled with, you know, extraordinary people that my parents worked with, wonderful, you know, adults, of course, and I was only little, but wonderful, inspiring, playful, kind people, Nick Grace and Roger Rees and Donald Sinden and Francesca Annis and Ian McKellen. And it was just golden. Watching my parents do something that they loved so much was deeply inspiring. It's why I went on to choose to do the same thing, rightly or wrongly. But I think when you have that sort of exposure to something, I think that it's very hard not to want to do that.
Of course. Yes, well, literally it's in your DNA, so... And pounding the streets of Stratford feels completely natural.
Yeah. And the first time I was ever on stage was, they did a same year, 1976, which of course was the great heat wave. Maybe that's why I always think it's the summer. But they did a musical production of Comedy of Errors. And at the end, I can remember what I was wearing, Chris. I was four. I was wearing a tartan dress. And my dad came down into the audience and picked me up and took me up on stage. And that was the first time I'd ever been on stage. And I remember thinking, oh, this is quite nice. Very special.
And is that presumably isn't your first ever memory, but that's your first memory of going on stage. I haven't thought of asking this before, but what would your first memory be?
First memory would be lying in a hammock in the garden at Charlecote. And it was, yet again, it was one of those golden sunshine days with my mum, with these great big patchwork cushions and my dad swinging us in the hammock. So I must have been two, I guess, maybe.
Yes. And I'm loving the through line of your dad always being ever present, actually.
Yeah.
And I, in researching you, by the way, I did know that when he died, that's partly when a path towards alcoholism started and all that, with that same era. So I know that you'll invariably go into other stuff later on, but I just love the through line of the fact that your dad is ever present in, you know, where you've decided your clearing is and in the pavements of Stratford. It's lovely.
Definitely.
So that's a beautiful first shapage. What would you say would be a second thing that shaped you of the four things?
They don't have to be in order, do they?
No, no, not at all. It's a canopy rich with fruit to shake as you see fit.
Well, in that case, I'll take what you've just mentioned. So one of my other things was getting sober. That has changed my life in more ways than they always say. When you're in the depths of addiction, they always say you can have a life beyond your wildest dreams if you can give up. And when you're in the depths of that, I think it's very hard to envision that because it seems like you've got Mount Everest in front of you. And the easy thing to do is stay at base camp one. And if you can, and I don't use words like if you're brave enough or if you're committed enough, I think if you just get it, because it took me a while to get it. And if you can get it and you're lucky enough to have a support system around you to help you get through that, then you have the life beyond your wildest dreams. And if the life beyond your wildest dreams is not just waking up in the morning and feeling shame and guilt and pain, because it is pain. If that's the one thing that changes, that's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. And I have a lot of people to thank for getting me through that. I was lucky enough to meet the most incredible man called John McEwen, who I met through Bill Kenwright. And I've always said that the two of them, between them, pretty much saved my life. And through John, I went to a rehab facility in Arizona called Cottonwood, which I'll tell this story very quickly. I have told it before, but I went out there and I was still really fighting. I was fighting with everything I had. And I got to Arizona, which everybody quite rightly goes, well, it's the desert. It's going to be hot. And it wasn't hot. It was grey and it was colourless and it was frightening. And on the first evening, we had a conversation given to us about how we could encounter tarantulas, black widow spiders, scorpions and rattlesnakes. And I thought, this is not the place for me. I'm going to go. And I spoke to a wonderful woman who worked there called Rami Katz, who's just the most extraordinarily spiritual woman that I've ever met. And she said, will you give it 36 hours? And she said, if you still want to leave after 36 hours, I will drive you to the airport. I said, okay, fine. Now, I don't know what this woman knew, but I went to bed that night and it rained and it pounded the earth. And I woke up the next morning and it was like that moment in The Wizard of Oz after the tornado. And I opened the door and like, I don't think I remember this with rose-tinted spectacles. I think this is actually what happened. Because of the rain, roses had suddenly bloomed on, like, all over, and bougainvillea and ground herbs, and there were little quails, and there were, in all the cactuses, there were little tiny owls and woodpeckers and these great giant wild pigs called javelinas, which I loved. And it was like somebody just said, just hold on, keep going. This is a glimpse of what it could be. I get very emotional when I talk about it. Just because it was such a pivotal moment in what was a very rocky and scary part of my life.
And how long was the sort of trajectory from going to Arizona to then finding recovery?
Well, I was there for 28 days.
Oh, and that one airlock then put you on the path of sobriety, and that's the airlock that did it.
Yeah. And it's an extraordinary place.
And of course, very brave and extreme to send you so far away to recover, because in Britain, there's the stereotype of going to other places that you might go to, but going to Arizona is an unusual, or maybe it's not, I don't know, but how unusual is it is a better question.
Well, I think at the time it was the only what's known as dual diagnosis centre in the world,
right?
Which treats the addiction, but also treats the underlying problem, if you like, because very few people just want to self-destruct, I imagine. I think there is always a reason why that happens.
And I read it was the grief for you, which was your catalyst, but maybe that's not how you'd interpret it.
It was. It was definitely that. It was a few things which I actually talk about a little later on.
Sure.
Everything just hurt. It just hurt. And I couldn't imagine getting through a day without having a drink. I just couldn't, because I didn't like the person who I was enough.
Yeah. And your story of the flowering of the desert, by the way, is incredibly profound. And I think the way that nature conspired as well to do the flowering whilst you're giving the 36-hour punt on the new experiment, very seminal.
It's an extraordinary spiritual place. Apparently it's one of the few places in the world where all the spiritual ley lines cross. You know how in New York, like, you feel energy coming up through the ground, and that's because of the subway, and we know that, and the electricity that it generates. But there's something in Arizona, there's something about the magnificence and the ancientness of the mountains that make you feel this big, and therefore your problem or problems, if you really think about it and analyze it, are tiny as opposed to all-encompassing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very, very special place. My third thing that has shaped me is my Sammy, my son, who I love more than I could possibly say. If this podcast could last for 100 years, I could never accurately tell you how much I love him and how proud I am of him and how he just... Well, I said to my mom the other day, I said, if I wasn't Sammy's mother, I'd think I want to be his best friend. He's an Perfect. Incredible man. Testimony. He's 26.
Yeah.
He's an influencer. And he's one of the kindest people I've ever met in my life.
I think I noticed he also went viral with your mum during the pandemic as well, doing TikToks as well. Is that right?
He did.
I don't know whether that was the genesis of him becoming an influencer, but maybe he was one already.
He sort of dabbled in it.
Yeah.
But then it's another illustration of his kindness. At the beginning of the pandemic, we both realised very quickly that Ma was on her own. And I was very lucky in the fact that I recorded a lot of audiobooks during the pandemic. But one of the deals was that, you know, I isolated at home and then I could go into the studio, and that was the only thing I could do. Sammy would have been 23, I think. And he went down as soon as we were allowed to. He went down to my mom's house and stayed there for 10 months, which I'm not sure how common that is. You know, don't be under any illusion that they didn't have some pretty big scraps, you know. Yes. I'd have Sammy on the mobile going, "Your mother is just so tricky."
So on the Shakespearean scale.
Yeah. And then I'd have my mum on the landline at the same time going, "Well, I don't know about your son." Of course, you know, when there's something bad, it's always your son.
Yes, or, of course. You know, ownership changes. Father. Yes.
You know. But he's a truly exceptional human.
That's a wonderful shapeage, the most perfect shapeage. I think you might have one shapeage left now, unless that's all for.
I have one shapeage, and it's excuse me, because my cold is bad. But the other shapeage is a friend of my parents. When I was very little, they had a great friend called Herman Barr, who I'm not even sure how they met. He just seemed to be around. And he was an incredibly wise person. And he said to my mother and father, in life, you must always look for the pluses. In whatever situation you're in, you must look for the pluses. And that has really stayed with me, I think, in every situation. And you know, I don't mean to be flippant about it in any way. I understand totally that very often we're in a situation and you can't see the pluses and there are no pluses, and that's kind of okay. But at some point in your life, to be able to look back and see why you were in that situation or what you got from that situation in a positive way, even if the positive thing is, I never want to be in that situation again. And that's really stayed with me. We always say it, look for the pluses.
And what was it? His name was Herman?
Herman Barr.
Herman Barr. Is he still with us or you don't know? No.
No, very much not. I mean, he was as old as Methuselah when I was tiny. I mean, probably wasn't. He was probably like in his 50s.
But it came from the elder. I love that. And it's stayed with him since.
Definitely.
And testament, as we all experience, somebody says something to us once in our life and we never, ever forget it. And that was the inspirational quote, which links beautifully to more inspiration coming further down the line as well.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colours or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world. And hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So now we're on to three things that inspire you. Now we've done the shapeage.
Okay, so the first thing, obviously, and it sounds trite, but the thing that inspires me the most is my mother.
Yes.
She's an 89-year-old force of nature. One of the reasons she inspires me so much is because she has never allowed herself to be defined by society or anybody else's rules, or and she's unafraid to follow her initiative. She's funny. She's brilliant. I remember going to see Antony and Cleopatra when I was 16. I went with my dad. He'd seen the first night, and then he took me, I think maybe 15. And I remember turning to him at the interval and saying, it's great, but when does Mar come on? Because she'd managed to become somebody so different.
Wow.
That I didn't recognize her, you know, and also apart from the acting, which she never ceases to amaze me in what she does, how she can just trammel depths that I didn't know were there and be daring and so clever. Apart from all of that, she's a top person. And I'm really lucky. I'm really lucky that she's been my mother.
And I love how that is a beacon of gold and of light as opposed to a shadow, because it could go either way, I suppose, if one is under the shadow of someone so heralded. I mean, obviously, being the daughter of Dame Judi Dench, it must be very profound in any case.
Yes, I think I touch on this later as well. But I think that if you're lucky enough to have a parent that is in the public eye and is loved and adored, I think that you have to learn to separate what other people think and how you perceive that person. Because it would be very easy to go, oh God, you know, oh, and I have had this in my life, you know, I'm never going to be as good as her. I'm never going to be as successful. I'm never going to have the career that she's, well, no, I'm not, because there's only one of her. And she has had a career that 99% of the acting profession would give their right hand for. But I have no control over what people think of me when it comes to her. If they think that I'm, you know, riding on her coattails, if they think that I've used her name, if they think all of those things, I have no control over that. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, because it hurts so much. But for my mother, who, I mean, she's incredible. She's just an incredible human. And that's the bit that matters to me.
By the way, I was very struck when I saw you on this programme 20 minutes ago. When you sent me a photograph of you beforehand, but when you turned up today on Zoom, I immediately had the thought, gosh, you're really your mother's daughter. You're looking increasingly like her. I'm not just saying that because you're there, but I was very struck with that you are her mother's daughter. You're looking increasingly like her.
Oh, thank you. Well, that means a lot. Thank you. She does keep saying to me, why don't you cut all your hair off and peroxide it? I'm like, I'm literally going to turn into your clone. That's probably not a great idea. Yeah.
So if I may, I think we're now on to the two things that never fail to grab your attention, which is the squirrels of distraction, if I've got my...
Yes.
Right. Yes. So what are your... Well, squirrels that never fail to distract you, whatever else is going on for you.
It's funny that you refer to them as squirrels, because any animal will distract me. When we were on tour, a great friend of mine who was in the company, Joe Rawlinson Hunt, he was missing his wife and his cats, and I was missing Joe and the cats, and we both had sons. And so, you know, inevitably there would be sort of sad days where you're sitting over a cup of coffee in some new city and you're a bit tired and you'd be having a bit of a sort of sad conversation. And literally we could be like, oh, you know, I just don't... Dog! And then we'd have to have a moment to look at the dog, acknowledge the dog, and then go back to the conversation. But cats, raccoons, big fan of a raccoon. Pretty much any animal.
And any how animal. Brilliant that they always yank us to the immediacy of the present, because they're so just there.
Just totally there.
Shake us from our reverie.
Joe thinks that I'll probably be arrested one day because I do tend I do tend to slightly throw myself on the floor when I see some small puppy type person. I think he thinks that the owners think that I'm a psychopath and that I'm probably going to steal it. I won't. I might just give it a hug.
Yes. A wonderful type of psychopath. That's great. So any animal, that's a great squirrel. And you're allowed a second squirrel that could be non-animal related or could be animal related.
It's not animal related at all. My second thing that never fails to distract me is any musical. I'm a musical theatre mad.
Are you a good singer as well, so that you can tread the boards and hoof along with the best of them?
I trained in musical theatre at Central.
Oh, by the way, we have there in common, by the way, I did a teaching degree there between 1982 and 1986.
Oh, well, there you go. So, I was 91 to 94. I'm passionate about musicals, absolutely passionate. I'm not good enough at all. But I very much like singing along with them in the car. Mm-hmm. One of my favourite things to do is to sing along with musicals with Sammy in the car. I will go and see musicals dozens of times, or karaoke. I'm really happy.
Ah, so that's another fact coming up. You're a karaoke queen then, probably.
I'm not a karaoke queen, but I do love a good karaoke session.
Which, by the way, beautiful segue into now the one quirky or unusual fact about you we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us, Finty Williams.
Well, after all this talk about animals and musicals and things, I think this might actually surprise you. If, you know, like sliding doors, if I could have my life over again, I'd want to be a criminal psychologist. I am utterly, utterly fascinated by the psychological makeup of serial killers, cult leaders.
And does this include you sort of nom-nom-nomming detective novel, crime novel as a genre, or you're just...
I prefer the real thing.
The real thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So when not in a fictional way. You actually want to get your sleeves up and get stuck into some criminal psychology.
Yeah. When I was ill, Joe came back. He was at work and he came back and I'd watched a programme on, I think it was called The Worst Serial Killers of All Time. And he was like, Fint, don't you want to watch, like, you know, nice Disney film? No, I don't. I just want to listen to about Charles Manson and Ted Bundy. And it's not in a gratuitous way at all. I'm fascinated by them.
That's a cool fact. We have shaken your tree.
You have.
So now, in the structure of this, we stay in the clearing, which is beautifully in Stratford-upon-Avon, as you trammel the depths of emotion in that environment. I loved the word trammel earlier on, by the way, which is why I'm saying it again.
I'm glad I got it right.
So now we're going to talk about alchemy and gold. So when you're at purpose and in flow, Finty Williams, what are you absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
What I'm absolutely happiest doing, I love organising a surprise birthday party. I'm not absolutely happiest organising it, but that moment where the person walks in,
yes,
and you get to surprise them with people and music and happiness. I derive a lot of pleasure out of that.
And have you successfully pulled one off for your mother in that regard as well, for Dame Judy?
I have her 80th birthday, I think. Mm-hmm. I told her that we were having lunch at a certain place in London. And when she arrived, I took her into a room and there was a table laid for, I think it was 20 people. And the last person around the tape because her eyesight's not very good. I had to say, and here's so-and-so and here's so-and-so. And the last person she came to was her best friend, Larry Guitard, who I'd met the night before at Heathrow and got him in a hotel in London, and she didn't know anything about it. And we had this wonderful lunch. And then we went downstairs, and there must have been, I think, the last count, there must have been about 80 people there, all from different parts of her life. And yeah, that was a pretty special day.
And what a great name, Larry Guitard. It sounds like it's an adjective for playing the guitar. So fantastic. I wonder if he had guitared. I'll stop there on that one. So alchemy and gold. And now we're going to ramp up to a bit of cake, please. And I've got a prop cake. So I'm going to award you with a cake now, Fintie Williams. Hurrah. Yeah. Do you like cake, first of all?
I love cake and I'm on a diet at the moment, so I love it even more.
And what cake of choice would you like, please?
Oh, I'd like coffee and walnut cake, please.
Tis yours. Beautiful. And now you get to put the cherry on the cake. And this is stuff like, what's a favourite inspirational quote that's always given you succour and pulled you towards your future? I remember you've already said the one about always looking for the pluses. But is there another that could be a revisit of that? But what's your favourite inspirational quote?
My favourite inspirational quote is, RuPaul says, if you can't love yourself, then how the hell are you going to love somebody else? And that meant so much to me because you know, when you're first getting sober, they say you have to, this is a selfish thing, you have to put yourself first. And I used to kick back against that all the time and go, I don't understand that. This is not about me. This is about repairing all the terrible things that I've done. Terrible, you know. And then I remember I first started watching Drag Race, like season 2, I think. So a long time ago. And I remember RuPaul saying that, and it suddenly made total sense to me.
Perfect.
And also I love them, and I love the ethos of the show, and I loved everything about it. Yeah.
And with the gift of hindsight now, what notes, help or advice might you proffer to a younger Fintie Williams?
This is really hard. I would say, don't be so scared. And don't try and be somebody for other people. Don't listen too much to what other people say or think about you.
Which is a wonderful testament to what Brendan said, just to reincorporate this, about how you have forged very much your own path, and therefore you are a force for good in what you do about that, which is such a lovely thing to say about you.
Well, it's very kind. I would hope that people thought that. I've never gone up in competition with anybody. I've never set out to do that. I just want to be able to do the thing that I train to do and that I love doing. And I'm not doing it for any other reason than it's what makes my heart beat.
And we're ramping up in a few moments to a bit of Shakespeare to talk about legacy. But just before we get there, this is the pass the golden baton moment, please. So having experienced this for yourself from within, who would you most like to pass the golden baton along to be given a damn good listening to in this way?
Well, I thought really hard about this. And I thought that more people needed to be able to hear what Sam Williams has to say about the world. So I am passing the baton on to my Sammy Williams.
Ooh, that's lovely. Thank you. And now, inspired by Shakespeare and all the world, you'll know this. This is you know, telling you how to suck eggs, but you don't have to do any Shakespeare. But this is inspired by all the world of stage and all the billy players, where we're going to talk about legacy now. So when all is said and done, Fintie Williams, how would you most like to be remembered?
I think she was nice to animals. She loved animals. that she was kind and that she did her best.
Where can we find out all about you on the old hinterweb? So if you wanted to point people to find out more about Finty Williams, where would you like to point them to?
Instagram, probably. I've rather swayed away from everything else. And Instagram is a happy place where you post photographs and, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's animals. So, yes, I'm on Instagram. I have no idea what my name is on Instagram, but it's Finty Williams. You know, I don't think there are that many of us. There are a few Finties, but not that many Finty Williamses.
Oh, yes. And I love the fact that Finty Williams is a derivation of Tara Cressida Finty Williams. So I enjoyed researching that about you as well. So yeah. As this has been your moment in the sunshine in the Good Listening To show, Stories of Distinction and Genius, is there anything else you'd like to say, Finty?
No, just there's only one other thing. And it's a piece of advice that I would pass on to younger actors, which is, no matter how much you want a job, if you don't get it and you get the phone call to say you didn't get it, always remember that there's somebody who got the phone call to say they did get it, and to support each other, because this business is so mercenary and it sets us against each other all the time. And if there's just one thing that I would just want to write in gold somewhere, it's be kind. Choose the people who you love and respect and celebrate their successes.
Perfect bit of wisdom to drop the mic, literally and metaphorically. So you've been listening to the glorious Finty Williams. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more Stories from the Clearing. And don't forget, if you'd like to be in the show too, then check out the website at thegoodlistening2show.com and check out the various series strands, which will explain exactly how you too can be my guest to be in the show. Thank you very much indeed. Good night. You've been listening to The Good Listening To show here on UK Health Radio with me, Chris Grimes. Oh, it's my son.
If you've enjoyed the show, then please do tune in next week to listen to more stories from The Clearing.
If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, then please do so. There's also a dedicated Facebook group for the show too. You can contact me about the programme, or if you'd be interested in experiencing some personal impact coaching with me, care of my Level Up Your Impact programme, that's chris@secondcurve.uk. On Twitter and Instagram, it's
@ThatChrisGrimes.
So until next time, for me, Chris Grimes, from UK Health Radio, and from Stan,
to your good health.
And goodbye.